That reminds me of Uncle Milty for some reason, like, or, you know, like it reminds me of a TV character. Anyway, that's not my point. Let me go ahead and just do a quick prayer and we'll get started. If you kids come up front, by the way, I'll give you a spoiler alert. You might get some money. Okay. Heavenly Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit to work in every generation, from the very youngest, from the memories being embedded in their hearts and minds, to the very oldest of us, Lord, and that you would just bless these words, bless your message, and bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are talking about faithfulness. I'm going to go ahead and read Galatians 5:22. This is one of our Fruit of the Spirit series, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. See, you can do these things and never break a law. We never talked about that. But this is almost our last message on the fruits of the Spirit. You know, we've been talking about this verse for 10 months. 10 months. We've actually been at two other churches in the time we've been talking about this. Did anyone have a baby? Anyone have a baby this month?
No.
Last month? Okay, you just answered because you had a baby. Okay, I would have expected a lot more hands if that helps. That's how the question was being discerned. Anyone have a baby this month or know someone at the church who had a baby this month? No, or going to have a baby last month? Well, I'm not saying this month because that would be like today or yesterday, but January, February, no. Okay, so we have no fruit of the Spirit babies. Okay, all right, I'll throw that out. No, but anyway, the second to the last fruit of the Spirit we're talking about is faithfulness. Faithfulness. I think it's faith. Is it faith or faithfulness? Oh, they're not going to help. This is awkward. They're not going to help me. I'm confused because some Bibles say the fruit of the Spirit is faith and others say it's faithfulness. And I think it's because, guess what?
What?
Uncle Robert, oh, please. It's the same word. That's right. The word in the Bible, in the ancient Greek, is the same, exact same words for faith and faithfulness. That's why they use different words in different Bibles. They're both a noun, right? But they must be really related to each other. And yes, they are. In fact, you can't be faithful without faith. Think about that. Faithful means full of faith. So if you don't have faith, then you're full of something else. Like maybe you're fearful, so you're full of fear. Or you're joyful, full of joy. Or maybe spiteful, you're full of spite. Or even hopeful, full of hope. But not faith. You have to have faith to be faithful. Let's look at where God's word says the exact same thing. Look at this. It says, "And it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." It says it's impossible. It doesn't just say, oh, it's not that easy, or, you know, sometimes you can't. It says it's impossible to please God without faith. That's a big thing. I'm going to tell you a story that actually shows what it looks like to be faithful to God. But before I do, I have to tell you something. Guess what? Okay, I am actually a very rich man. Clap. No, don't clap for my riches. I'm sorry. In fact, I have some $1 million bills to give away today. I'm going to give some to the kids. Can I have five kids raise their hand? Okay, now what you have to do, okay, that's the five. Come on up here. Okay, what I want you to do is I'm going to give you, oh, and the other thing, did you know it's my face on the $1 million bill? why are you guys laughing? Have you ever seen $1 million bill? Well, maybe your rich kids will show it to you. But yeah, it's my. That's how rich I am. It's my face. Yes.
That means it's fake.
My face?
It's fake.
Fake? Why would you say that?
Because
why would you say such a
not
thing?
Real.
It's not real. Okay, so you don't want one? Okay, so I'm going to give you $1 million. And what you have to do, here, take the microphone and tell me what you're going, I'm going to give you the $1 million first, and you tell me what you're going to do with it.
Save it.
Save it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Give the mic to the next person. What you going to do with your $1 million?
Give it to charity.
You're going to give it to charity. Oh, okay. Wait, you go ahead and face the audience. Tell everybody what you're going to do with your $1 million.
I'm going to buy a house.
You're going to buy a house. That's nice. You can almost buy a house for that around here. Yeah. Okay. Benji, what are you going to do with your $1 million?
I will bring it home.
You're going to bring it home. All right. That's great. There you go. And Hudson, what are you going to do? Go ahead and tell, face the audience and tell them what you're going to do with your $1 million.
Buy something.
What? Buy something. That's good. Just leave it open. Awesome. Okay. All right. Okay. A little parenting lesson for you guys. Okay. Dylan, if I give you $1 million, will you promise to kind of sit still and watch the message and pay attention? Yeah. See, Mom, Dad, it's not that hard. You know? I mean, what's the deal here? Not that hard. Okay. Anyway, so we heard 5 different things from these newly rich young people on what they're going to do with their $1 million. And there's a story that Jesus told where a master gives his 3 servants money while he's away on a long trip. It's called the parable of the talents. And a parable is another word for a story. A parable is used when a story is an example of something bigger that Jesus wanted to say. But what is a talent? Who knows what a talent is? Nowadays, we describe talents as things that people can do. Here's some things that people can do. Do we have these pictures? All right, this person has a talent. They can walk on a tightrope. It's not that high off the ground, but it would sure would still hurt to fall, right? I mean, that's a talent. Wouldn't matter. Oh, this is a one-man band. Watch out, worship team. You know, this guy could just get up there and boom, 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 and all that stuff, right? You know, one-man band. What's this next one, a painter? Okay, painter, he's talented. Here's the next one. This kid can't put all these spoons on his nose. So when you're at Easter dinner with your relatives and grandparents' kids, try this at home. People always say, don't try this at home. I say, try it, go for it, you know. Wait, leave it on this lady. I remember this lady, she won the Guinness World Record for popping her eyes out the furthest. And it led to fame. She actually got a commercial where they said something like, "Hey, can you pay attention? Here you go." It led to a commercial where they said like, "Did you know you could save $500 on car insurance?" And her eyes went, "Roo!" And that was the end of the commercial. That was the only thing she was ever in after winning the Guinness record. But back to our story. So that's what we think of as talents now. All these things that people can do that are unique and unusual. But guess what? A talent used to be a weight or a unit of measure. They paid for everything in gold and in silver. And the more it weighed, of course, the more it was worth. That's true today, right? If you have a little bit of gold, it's worth a little bit. If you have a lot, it's worth a lot. So a talent was a weight that they used. So he's actually giving people a measure of wealth to do something with. So we're going to ahead and start with the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, 14 through 30, the parable of the talents. Everyone understands, you kids all understand, a parable is a story and a talent is money, right? You got that? Okay. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Okay, now I actually have to stop for a second. I know we're just getting into it, but because this is really important, Jesus is saying the kingdom of heaven is like. So this story is actually about God's kingdom. That's really important. It's that he's telling a story so people can understand it, but the bigger story is about God's kingdom, and that's really important to remember. Okay, so let's read. No more interruptions. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. He doubled the money. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered me 5 talents. Look, I've gained 5 talents more. Besides them, his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over the few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He who had also received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. So far, so good, right? I mean, it sounds like they were smart with the money. And when the master came back, he's happy. He's really happy. He ended up giving them more. He ended up trusting them more. And it increased his trust with them. This story, though, kind of reminds me. Let's look at this picture of Goofus and Gallant. You guys remember Goofus and Gallant? Goofus and Gallant, like the Goofus was always the one, these were in highlights, did all the bad things. It said that Goofus keeps his hat on when he goes to his playmate's house, and then Gallant, like, removes his hat. I don't think kids remove their hat anymore. It's like, you know, I'm here to visit you. But back then, it was, like, considered polite. And in these comics, Goofus is always doing some horrible thing, and Gallant's always doing the right thing instead. You find them in the doctor's office. I don't know if they still exist anymore, but that's Goofus and Gallant. This story kind of reminds me of that, but nobody's Gallant all the time, and no one's Goofus all the time. So that's where the story kind of falls apart. I'm going to do a critical analysis of Goofus and Gallant and tell it to the receptionist next time in the hospital. So let's go ahead. I'm going on a tangent, and I need to stop and go back to the message. No more interruptions. He who had received 1 talent came and said, Lord, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there what you have is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant. You know I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take this talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have abundance. But to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This sounds harsh, right? I mean, he was just afraid. You know, he was a little bit afraid. And so
Hey, Robert.
What?
Robert.
What?
Sorry, I just have
what?
To.
What?
Well, I have to give you something that it's been bugging me.
What?
$2 that you loaned me at Trader Joe's the other day. Two real dollars,
dollars. Why are you, first of all, the $1 million are real. And second, why do you have to give this to me right now? I don't understand.
Because I know who you are. You're kind of mean with money. And like, I just didn't want to be on the wrong side of you. And I'm like, I was a little nervous. And somewhat, you're being kind of generous with this stuff. So I think there's strings attached. And I don't even know where you got that money from. So I'm feeling like I just need to give it back to you because there's something shady going on, and I don't trust you, and you're just a mean guy.
All right, well, thanks, I guess.
Yeah, whatever. I got things to do. See you later.
All right. Wow. So, okay. How do you think that makes me feel? That's what this servant is saying to his master. And if this story is about the kingdom of heaven, that's what this man is saying to God. You kids, I need you to tell me something. Anyone who has a good memory. What did you learn last summer about God? What did you learn? We're going to put it on the screen, but who can remember before we put it on the screen? Okay, who can remember before we put it on the screen? I'm going to be poor at the end of the service. Nobody? You can remember what it say. What did it say? God is what?
Good.
He's not in a bad mood, and nothing can stop him from loving me. All right. This is for Trader Joe's now. All right. So this guy, think about that. This is what all the kids learned last summer. God is good. He's in a good mood. Nothing can stop him from loving me. This guy is saying the opposite about his master. You're not good. You don't deserve the things you have. You're a hard man. You're mean. I'm afraid of you. That's what this servant is saying. So what's the master's first reaction? You know that I reap where I haven't sown. He says, is this what you think of me? This is really who you think I am? You have to have faith to be faithful. And it's impossible to please God without faith. This is an example of that. I'm going to go even one better. Without faith, you have no fruits of the Spirit. Because if fruits of the Spirit please God, and it's impossible to please God without faith, anything you're doing, those aren't fruits of the Spirit without faith. You might be just pretending, or you're doing things because you're afraid, or you want something back. Whatever, there might be other reasons you're doing good things, but you do not have fruits of the Spirit without faith. But I'm going to believe something. I'm going to believe that you have faith. And that's good, because this story actually has stuff for those of us who do have faith. It teaches us a couple of things. The first thing it teaches us is that God wants us to take risks. God wants us to take risks. Remember that this message is actually about the kingdom of God. Jesus said before anything else, the kingdom of God is like. That's why it's a parable. So where can we take a risk? Where are the risks that we should be taking for God? We take a risk, first of all, when we step out and share our faith with somebody. Just like this servant, I was afraid. Maybe we're afraid of what people will think, you know, when we talk about God or what God's doing in our life, or say the name Jesus. Sometimes it's really easy to say, God bless you, but to say, like, you know, Jesus, that's like there's something about that name, just like in the songs. Or we might just be afraid of failing. You know, maybe it's not a shyness thing. Maybe we think we're going to do something dumb. This servant was afraid of failing. He said, oh, I was afraid to invest it. He was afraid he was going to lose all the money with a bad investment. But that's not a virtuous thing. That's not something they see as a good thing. He also forgot how good his master was. I need the kids to help me with a game. I need three kids. I'm going to show something about God. Give me three hands, kids that want to come up and help me. One, awesome. Two, awesome. Three, awesome. Three awesome girls, okay. All right, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to put these here. And what I want you to do, I know I could have spent $1 million on better props, but this kind of stuff is why I have $1 million. Okay. Anyway, so here's what I want you to do. I want you each to throw three. I want you to throw three of these into that basket. Now, don't be nervous. Go ahead and put down your, what is that? What is that thing?
A unicorn.
A unicorn. Okay, put down your unicorn. All right, let's get you first so that thing can be gone. All right, so what I want you to do is throw each, okay, I'm not going to count that one. All right, I'm not going to count that one, okay? Go ahead, try again. Throw it in the basket. Two, okay, let's move the basket a little closer. All right, okay. Now, don't be nervous, but if someone needs to get a perfect score, or it kind of messes up my lesson, but don't let that make you nervous, okay? All right, one, okay, go ahead. Oh, good job. Two, awesome, go ahead. All right, oh, okay, one more, okay. There you go, yeah, you just get serious about it now, all right, perfect score. I didn't count the other ones, so that was a perfect score. All right, thank you. Go ahead and take your toy. That thing makes me nervous. I don't know why. If he's for me, who can be against me? Not even a toy. Let's go ahead and give it a try. Okay, three of these in the basket, all right?
Okay.
All right, one. All right, not going to count that one. Two. All right, let's bring the basket a little closer. Okay. Try giving it a little bit of a whoop. All right, here, try again. All right, try again. All right, one, two, one, here, one more try. Okay, one more try. Perfect score, because I didn't count the other ones. You know what, we're going to mix it up. We're going to give you the professional wads of paper, these dark colored ones. So you ready? Are you ready for action? Okay. One, good job, two, okay, wait, okay. All right, go ahead, one more. Go ahead and throw it in. Okay, let's try this one again. Perfect score. Whew. That's such a relief, because that part of my lesson would have fallen apart if they didn't get perfect scores. So, they all got perfect scores. Did you know that when we're obedient to God, He gives us a perfect score as well? Let me show you this. I'm going to show you it in two Bible verses. If you accept Jesus' sacrifice for your sins, he's paid for your sins. And this is what he does with them. Here's Psalm 103. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west. So I think there's something important here. He's not forgetting our sins. There's other verses that says he forgot our sins, but it does say in other places in the Bible, but first he removes them. He actively takes them away. My Bible actually says he carries them away from the east to the west. He forgets them, but the reason he forgets them is because they're not there anymore. I've heard people say, if you're a believer, when you sin, God like turns away. That's like, I don't see that. But that's not true, because he's actually taking them away. There's nothing for him to look at. He's removed them, and that's so important. God does not have amnesia. He doesn't have a limited memory, and that's so important for the next verse, because God remembers all things. We have this promise from him that we can believe, because he doesn't forget things. It says, for God is not unjust. He will not forget how hard you have worked for him, or how you have shown your love to him by caring for other believers as you still do. So think about that. God removes our sins and our mistakes, and when we're obedient, he still remembers all the good things that we do. That's why in the paper game, all these kids got a perfect score. They already won. You know when they won the game? They won just by getting up here, just by willing to get up here. That's when they won the game. That's when I knew in advance I was going to give them a perfect score. You can't fail being obedient to God. If you're willing to obey him, you've already won. He's going to give you a perfect score. So what have we learned from this story? We've learned three things. You have to have faith to be faithful. God wants us to take risks for his kingdom. And you cannot fail when you are obedient to God. Those are promises from the Bible. We've also learned that the ones who were obedient, God, they got back so much more. They got back even more to take care of, because they were obedient to him and faithful the first time. So let's talk about talent again. I think it's important to look at the talent. How much was that money actually worth? One got one talent, one got two talents, and one got five talents. And there's another type of money measurement in the Bible that's going to show us how much that talent was worth. It was called a denarii. You see that picture? It's a denarii. It was a single coin. It was usually silver, and it was worth a day's wages. So if someone came and worked in your field, at the end of the day, you'd pay them a denarii, or if someone came and cleaned your house all day, you might pay them a denarii. So one talent was actually worth 6,000 denarii. That's 6,000 days' wages. So if you put that term in terms of a job that pays just minimum wage nowadays, I think it's $15 an hour, In California, right? Even if it's not, that's the math I'm using, so we'll go with that. That would be 6,000 days at $15 an hour of 8-hour days would be $720,000. That one talent was worth $720,000. So even though the one servant got two times as much and the other one as the lazy guy, and the other one got five times as much as the lazy guy got $720,000. So it's not a small amount. And I think what's important, it's easy to read this story and to think, oh, he didn't get as much to do with. You know, if you just think of this like one little thing. The master didn't trust him very much and gave him less, and that's why he was afraid. But we can unfortunately think of our own lives that same way. When it comes to investing in God's kingdom, we might think, oh, that's other people have more talent in that area. We might be an older person and think, oh, you know, that's for those young people. They go out with YWAM, God bless them, and they preach, you know, to everybody and, you know, work in missions. And they're the ones who have the time and the energy to really invest in God's kingdom and to spend their talents. But the opposite might happen. We might have some young people who say, I'm kind of busy with friends and school. I have to worry about tests and worry about college. And, you know, the older people that are kind of established and already have their life set, you know, they're the ones who really have time to spend that talent to invest in God's kingdom. So you have these two different types of people looking at other people's talents and thinking that they have less. Maybe we think it's the pastor's job or the staff's job. I mean, that's why we pay them the big bucks, right? You know, but even though we're the ones who are spending our time around all the communities of people who don't know God, who need to hear this message. So we have doors open and things open that, people who are involved in taking care of the church, taking care of us, really don't have the time to do and don't have the opportunity to do a lot of times. That's the lazy servant attitude. So God is good. He's in a good mood. And nothing can stop him from loving you. Have faith in that and obedience to that, and it will make you faithful. Let's talk about what talents are nowadays, because do you know that when we talk about talents, like I showed the people tightrope walking and painting and all those things, we actually get that word for talent from this story. It was always just money, and then people started saying, you know, what are talents? Talents are other things that people can do. And I think it's great that it's not just thought of anymore as money, because you might be somebody, you know, who people think is really, okay, kids, is there anybody who, someone think that you're, that people think you're funny when you're at school? Do you make other kids laugh? Anyone? No? No? Okay. Anyone? No? Anyone? No? Okay. But, you might have some kids that make other people laugh. You might be a kid or somebody who, like, people, like, just think are nice, or they think that you're strong or athletic. And those are all talents that God gave to you. But guess what? Guess what? He gave them to you to invest in his kingdom. That's why God gives you talents, just like in this story, because the kingdom of God is like this story. So he wants you to tell people what God's kingdom means to you and what Jesus means to you. And maybe you're afraid. You know, maybe you think, oh, I'm going to go around sounding like holy girl or Bible guy if I'm talking about Jesus. I'm going to tell you a story about myself. And what you're going to learn from this story, that spending those talents on God's kingdom, it's not something that just comes with age. It's not something that's like a knowledge thing or your position. It's not. It's a faith thing, and it's an obedience thing. So about 16 years ago, I used to do a lot of writing for a technology magazine. It was actually when people didn't read everything online, so people open up and read a story, and I spoke at conferences, and people kind of knew me for that. It was like a small circle of people, but in that, you know, people knew who I was. At the same period of time, I was running a pretty good-sized Bible study at a workplace, a big office campus. I was teaching college kids about why their faith was real once a month, and I was teaching high schoolers through the Bible book by book every Wednesday night. So all these great things happening, right? Like, you know, super guy. While I was speaking at this conference, and people just loved what I talked about. This is the technology conference. And even though they thought I was smart, and later I was invited to this big reception. It was funny because I told my wife, you know, I was speaking at that conference and people came and crowded around the podium afterwards. And she said, I should have said, darlings, you know, there's enough. But anyway, it was a successful speech. I was invited to a reception, which kids, that means it's like a party that they do after all the business part of a meeting. And all the people at this fancy reception were talking about, you know, they were kind of important people or what people think of, and they were talking about their vacations and their vacation homes and their boats and the restaurants they had eaten in and their, you know, their summer vacation house. And eventually they asked me, what did I do with my spare time? And guess what? I didn't want to tell them. I didn't want to tell them about my ministry. I didn't want to tell them I taught the Bible. I didn't want to tell them about Jesus. At that moment, I was enjoying so much them thinking that I was so smart and sophisticated, enjoying so much them thinking I was one of them, that I didn't want that awkwardness. It wasn't fear. It was tiredness. I didn't want that awkwardness where you tell them all the stuff you're doing. They kind of go like, oh, good for you. And then they don't really want to talk about it anymore. You're just different. I didn't want that difference. And you know what that is? That's a divided life. It's a double life. Living a double life, we hear about people, that doesn't have to mean that you're doing some, like, you know, wicked, horrible, secret things on one side and then, you know, acting all good on the other. A double life is any time that our life isn't integrated completely for God and for God's kingdom. That's what a double life is, when your life isn't aligned or integrated. And that's not something that just goes away, kids, when you grow up. It's something that comes from faith in God, knowing he has your back, and it comes from obedience. It's something that you have to be deliberate about. Faithfulness, then, is making sure that your life is integrated. You know, when I didn't want to talk about the Bible or the things I was doing, I didn't like how it felt. I felt fake. I felt hypocritical. And I made an effort from that point on to be the same person at work, in classes, or in church, or wherever I was. And even now, I meet a lot of people and that someone might consider a big shot. You know the kind of people you meet and you're almost nervous what you're going to say in front of them because they're so important at a company or they're a little bit famous. So I'll meet people like that. And God has changed my heart through the Holy Spirit so much that I want so much to invest in God's kingdom that I start, in the middle of a conversation, I just have to tell them about God. And it comes around naturally. And this isn't bragging. It's not bragging when you do it. It's a gift from God. It's a gift that God wants each of us to have. It's not thinking that you're better than somebody. It's just really having a love the same way that Jesus, when that rich young ruler came, you know, he didn't just kind of set him off like that, like thought it was all good. He says he felt love for the man. He felt compassion and love for the man. It's that same kind of feeling, and God can give it to any of us. So we're going to have a ministry time right now, and we're going to have people who are going to pray in these two corners. And I want to tell you something. I want you kids to pay attention. I'm out of $1 million bills, but look at me for a minute. This is a multi-generational service, and if you're a young person and you want to God to show you how he wants you to invest in his kingdom, how to use his talents, I want you to pray to someone about it. If you have any kind of burden, I don't want you to think this is just for Uncle Jeff or whoever else to go, you know, to go in the corner to pray with people. This is for everybody who's in this service right now. If you feel like your life was divided, just like mine was at that conference, or you just don't want it to be, pray with someone. Pray with someone in the back. And this is no different from what I'd ask the adults, my age, a little older, maybe a little younger. What are you hiding? Where are you hiding your talents in the ground? Who are the people that you are hesitant to proclaim Jesus in front of because you know it will change how they think about you? And you're right. It will change the way they think about you as soon as you mention Jesus' name. It will make a difference. Is there anything that you're so accomplished in or you work so hard at that it's kind of your thing? You know, it really doesn't belong to God. It's just kind of your thing you do. Think about that. Those are all things that God's want integrated into our lives and used for his kingdom. So let's be faithful. Let's remember, you have to have faith to be faithful. God wants us to take risks for his kingdom, and you cannot fail when you are obedient to God. So I'm going to pray, and we'll have people who are to pray for in the back during this ministry time. Heavenly Father, the verse that keeps coming to mind is perfect love casts out all fear. And I think so much about how you don't want us to be afraid. Heavenly Father, you have given us so many promises in the Bible. You are faithful even when we are not. If God is for us, who can be against us? Lord God, help us to not look at those and think, no, those are for somebody else. Help us not to do that, Lord. Help us to think of those, that belongs to us. Those are promises for us, God. Help us to know the joy that you have for us when our lives are integrated, Lord, when we are a good and faithful servant. Help us know how much more you have for us, God, when we step out and we're willing to look at you with faith and to practice faithfulness, God. I pray, oh Lord, that everybody would just that your Holy Spirit would just show them what should I be doing, what should I be saying, Lord. Not in advance, Lord, just in those moments, Lord, that their lives would be integrated and natural. Lord, I pray that there would be no fear. I pray that you would, with your perfect love, cast all fear, even the fear to be prayed for, Lord, even the fear to be looked at, Lord, that you would cast that out of this room, Lord. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.